everyone. My name is Julia Cardoso, and you're listening to Anxious Ramblings. Here we're going to speak about the crazy thoughts in your head that you're afraid to say out loud. So for today's episode, we're going to talk about social relationships. And I want to reference for this episode a book by Daniel Goleman called Social Intelligence, The New Science of Human Relationships. And first, I want to explain what is social intelligence. And as explained in the book, it is general intelligence applied to social situations. Humans have the abilities that can either be defined as social or emotional, but other psychiatrists decided that the two are interconnected and they work together as well as sometimes against each other. And I just want to read a quote from the book that I found really interesting. It says that our social interactions are what drives our emotions. So basically, if you think about it, every interaction, every emotion, every relationship has a biological component to it, and it affects our bodies either in a negative way or positive way. Having good relationships and healthy, stable connections with people are like vitamins. They boost your energy, they boost your immune system, your overall health. And having bad relationships, unhealthy relationships, are like toxins or poisons. And they can really impact the way you are physically as well as mentally. And a really important part of forming relationships with people is learning about social awareness. And from this book, I learned that social awareness includes four different components. The first one is primary empathy. And primary empathy is when you feel with others. You have a sense of nonverbal emotional signals that you really have a sense of what that person is going through, like you feel for them. And the second part of social awareness is attunement. And attunement is really just listening with full receptivity and just being receptive to people's emotioning and just being aware. And the third part of social awareness is empathetic accuracy. And this involves understanding someone's thoughts, feelings, and intentions. Just being there and just trying to be as understanding as you can of how people think, how people go about the way they do certain things. And the last part of social awareness is social cognition. And this is just knowing how the social world works in regards to how people connect in society, how certain groups have certain traits, and how groups interact with other groups of people who are not like them. And I feel like social awareness is really important when you're trying to establish healthy relationships, because you have to be aware of how people are feeling. You have to have empathy and sympathy towards them and really learn how to be aware of those situations and how you're making people feel, how people are making you feel, and trying to find balances between them. And in terms of how this applies to mental illnesses, our relationships with others and interactions impact our emotions, and in turn, they impact our mental health. And having healthy relationships in your life is really important to your recovery from your mental illness. Someone who is constantly surrounded by negative people, toxic people, people who are always bringing them down, or just unstable environments, going to have a real hard time trying to recover. And finding ways to really cleaning your relationships can definitely be helpful in your mental health recovery. So now I'm just going to give you some tips of some observations that I've had on ways to have healthy relationships in our lives and how to go about doing so. So I think the first thing that is really important is learning how to establish boundaries between people. Making sure that you let them know this is something that I'm uncomfortable with and I don't want you to cross that line, or, you know, I'm going to have a hard time with this and I need you to be understanding. Just setting boundaries, letting people know that there's a certain line that they cannot cross, and if they do, it's going to be really hard for you. And just being vocal and really letting them know that these are just boundaries. It's nothing against them, but this is just what you need for you. And also, it's really important to start to identify toxic relationships. Just take a moment, even write this down. Just take a moment to really think about the people in your life and think about how they are in relation to you. Like, what do they bring to your life? What are the positives? What are the negatives? And people who bring more negatives than positive shouldn't be a huge part in your life, because that's just going to bring you down and it's going to be really, really hard for you. And another thing that's really important that I learned really late, but is to be selfish in your relationships. And that sounds kind of silly, but it's really important to just take some time for you and ignore the social world, ignore everyone around you. When it gets really bad, just take some time to really disconnect from the rest of the world and be selfish. And it's okay to do that once in a while, because you need it and you deserve that self-care, that selfishness, and the ability to just tune everything out and focus on yourself. Something else that's really important in establishing healthy relationships is to, like I said before, be vocal. And this is something that is going to be really hard, because you don't want to hurt other people's feelings and you don't want anyone to take it the wrong way. But at the same time, you're going to have to find a way to really express to them that these boundaries or these guidelines, and everyone with a mental illness has, like, basically a guide to how people need to act around them, or the level of interaction they can deal with, the types of people they can deal with. And making sure that you find a way to express this to the people that you surround your time with can be really helpful in helping them understand you, and at the same time, you understanding what you can handle and what you can't handle. Also, understanding how each relationship plays a role in your life can be really vital to having these healthy relationships. Knowing that this, like, knowing who to go to when you have certain, like, if you have a panic attack or a mental breakdown, who you can go to, who you can't go to. You know that not everyone is going to respond to your mental illness in the same way. Learning that certain people are going to be more supportive, certain people aren't going to be as supportive, and really being okay with that, because you just have to understand that not everyone is going to accept this, and not everyone is going to know what to do when you tell them that I have a mental illness. And really allowing them to have time to really process it and learn how to deal with it on their own way. And this is going to be really important if you really want to keep that person in your life and establish a healthy relationship with others in your support system. And those are all the tips that I had for today on how to really establish a healthy support system, healthy relationships, healthy connections with people around you. So the guest interview for today's episode is going to be Lindsay. And so she reached out to me, I don't know, if a couple episodes ago, I told you guys I did an interview on the Anxiety Guru Show podcast. And Lindsay heard me on there, and she reached out to me through Twitter, and we were emailing back and forth. She just explained to me about her story and what she went through with her anxiety and generalized anxiety disorder. And I felt really intrigued, because a lot of what she was going through was a lot of things that I faced when I was young, growing up, and even now. And I was just really wanted you guys to hear her story and hear about her battle with anxiety and how she handled relationships in her life with others. And I really hope you guys enjoy her story. I guess you can talk to me about your story and how you came to be where you are today.
Okay. Well, anxiety is something that I always had, but it never really had a definition until I was older and actually had a chance to go and see a doctor. When I was a child, my anxiety manifested itself in that it was very difficult for me to relate to my peers. It was very difficult to talk to them. And my parents just thought I was shy. They told me just talk more. They basically just told me to get over it and thought I might grow out of it.
Yeah, I definitely got that too. Sorry.
And it got to be junior high, and it's a hard time anyway when you're a teenager. But for me, my anxiety was really coming to a head at that point. It was when you can't talk to your peers about things that you're going through, when you feel like you're not accepted, when you feel like you're different, all these really amplified by anxiety, it really can make you feel very alone, very depressed. And at that point, I realized that I needed help. And and to try to, unfortunately, to try to make my parents understand that this was serious, I told them that I wanted to end things, and that did get, I had no intention on doing it, mm-hmm. but that did get their attention enough where they took me to the school social worker, and I talked to her about once a week. It helped a little bit, but I really needed something more than that. And when I was 15, I finally was able to see a psychiatrist, and I didn't know what was wrong with me, but I brought in this huge list of my symptoms and how I felt in different situations. He didn't even have to look at it. He talked to me for about 2 or 3 minutes and said, "You have generalized anxiety disorder."
Wow.
So that's where it all started, and then how I felt my whole life finally had an answer.
Right. How did it feel once you finally got that
diagnosis? I was honestly very relieved. Because at that point, I knew that if they had diagnosed me with something, there was a possibility that I was going to get better, that I didn't have to suffer forever. So that was very relieving to me. Probably the most important thing he told me was that people are so involved in themselves and in their own heads that they're not really paying attention to anybody else.
Yeah, I got that advice too when I went to my counseling center at school. He told me that. I told him I get really anxious when I walk in the cafeteria, and he was like, "No one's even worried about what you're doing. Like, you're the only one who's noticing this," and that really stood out to me too.
And that was when it was the hardest for me too, was in the lunchroom.
Yeah.
And of course, fast forward 13 years, and people can't even believe that I was ever shy. I mean, I work on my blog, thegadlife.blogspot.com, I post a lot of stories about my own personal experiences and ways that I've learned how to cope, and I share those with people as it seems fitting, and give advice from time to time.
When I ask them about stigma and how it affects their mental health, they always say that it affects them in a negative way, but I was reading a story and said that your parents it made them kind of more accepting of the mental illness?
Yeah, certainly once they knew what the problem was, they were very, very accepting.
So how are you now with your anxiety and stuff?
You know, I would say that I am extremely proud of the progress that I have made in my life. I could have never imagined that I would be able to be able to make friends easily, go into a crowded room and not feel intimidated, do the kind of job that I do. I never thought that would have been possible. So I'm very, very proud of myself.
That's amazing.
And it's great to be able to share my experiences and help others to hopefully get to that point.
So how is it with, I guess, dealing with, like, relationships? Even, I know that you're married, right?
But yes, I have a ring on my finger, but married about 9 months now.
Oh, that's wonderful. So how was it like dating with your anxiety?
Dating was a little bit challenging, based on the fact that a lot of my anxiety expressed itself in shyness. Of course, I was a little bit afraid to talk to boys. As I got into high school, it was easier to be friends with gentlemen, and that was very nice. There wasn't a lot of pressure. When it came to actually dating them, I wasn't afraid to go on dates, but usually if I did end up going on a date or two with somebody that I really liked, my anxiety would make me very clingy at the beginning of the relationship. I would be very scared. I'd be very nervous about, I wouldn't want them to forget about me, and if I wanted to date them, I wanted to have control over the situation. But the fact is, it doesn't work that way, and it really does turn people off. Even if they liked you a little bit, people don't like to be chased and think that you're desperate. So
yeah,
that made it kind of tough. I had to eventually learn to relax and realize that it's not all about what the other person thinks of me. I need to take the time to get to know that person, and if we click, we click. If not, that's okay. If I like him and he doesn't like me, that's okay. There's going to be other people. Be able to be more relaxed about it. And that's really when things started to come together, when I was able to approach dating with a more relaxed type of style. The first one actually had anxiety himself, so it was something that we could talk about together.
Oh, that's great.
My husband doesn't, and he doesn't really understand it, mm-hmm. But he loves me and he supports me, and it's something he works to try to understand. And to be honest with you, the fact that he doesn't have anxiety actually is very good for me and for our relationship, because when I get a little bit too worried about something, he always has a very straightforward response that can usually calm me down quite a bit.
That's great. I feel the same exact way about my boyfriend. Like, yeah. he doesn't have anxiety either, and that's true, though. As soon as he knows that I'm, like, getting really anxious, he knows exactly what to do, exactly what to say to, like, really help me. And it is wonderful, though, to have someone who isn't dealing with this, because they can be, like, it's kind of like they balance you out in a way.
Yes. He doesn't understand it, and sometimes we argue about it a little bit, but we have the open line of communication, and I understand that it's hard for him. He understands that it's hard for me. Therefore, we work through it, and that's really what you got to do in any relationship. If one person has anxiety, you have to make efforts to understand that it's difficult for both and work through it.
Definitely, I agree with that. All right, I just want to say thanks for everyone who made this episode possible, for the music at least, all my Tumblr followers, and don't forget to follow me on Twitter at Anxious Survivor. And you can also email me for any questions, concerns, if you want to be a guest on the podcast, anxietysurvivor@gmail.com. And also, don't forget to check out my website at anxiousramblings.squarespace.com. Also, I have a huge announcement. Next episode, we're going to have a really, really special person joining us at Anxious Ramblings, and I can't wait for you guys to hear it. Thank you all for listening. Hope to see you next time.